Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I've been praying for you. And if you'd like to have prayer, you can always go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the icon for prayer. We'll pray for you. This message is a second message in the series, God With Us. It's called Faith in the Fire. We'll be in Daniel chapter 3, 1 through 30. As I prayed over this sermon series this year, the Holy Spirit has impressed upon my heart to encourage you with three little words, God with us. It's a Trinitarian sermon series because I love the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three words are small, but they're mighty, and they're powerful when they sink in and soak in and saturate our hearts. God with us. Over the next few months, we'll make our way to Easter. I'll be sharing famous stories in the Bible, stories where God showed up in a big way. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. God was with David when he faced the giant called Goliath. God was with Elijah when he was confronted by the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. God was with Elisha when he raised the dead son of the Shunammite and filled the widow's olive oil jar to overflowing. God was with Jonah in the belly of the big fish. God was with Samson, Gideon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets and the people of the Bible. Just pick up your Bible, read it, and you'll see wonderful stories, God with us. Do you believe those three little words? God with us? How do those three words affect your life? Make it personal. God with me. Over the next few weeks, we'll spend time in the book of Daniel. We'll jump into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then we'll find ourselves in the lion's den with Daniel. Get ready. This is going to be a great series to put yourself into the story. Maybe you already feel like you're living the story. Maybe it feels like you've been in a fiery furnace this past year. Or maybe you found yourself in the lion's den with this worldwide pandemic. The good news is found in these three but mighty words, God with us. Make it personal, God with me, God with us. I'd like to spend a few minutes to set the stage for the next 2 weeks as we study Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Real quickly, Babylon is the ruling power at this time. Babylon had attacked the southern kingdom, Judah, three times, once in 605 BC, then again in 597 BC when Jehoiakim was king of Judah, which is mentioned in Daniel chapter 1. And then again, the complete destruction in 586 BC, the Jerusalem is completely destroyed and the people of the land are deported to Babylon. Just a side note and a little point of interest is the prophet Jeremiah was in Jerusalem at the time of the final destruction of Jerusalem. I don't always advocate taking notes, but I think this is going to be quite an adventure that the Holy Spirit's going to bring upon us. Maybe get ready with a notepad or use your phone or iPad or computer. But let's get going, God with us. It's a great adventure. Consider these three points to study the book of Daniel. God is sovereign. God sets up kingdoms and allows kingdoms to fall. God is omnipotent. That's a big word. It means that he's all-powerful. The book of Daniel teaches us that the fortunes of kings and the affairs of all people are subject to God's decrees and that God is able to accomplish his will despite the most determined opposition of the mightiest kings on earth. God is in control of history, and God's purposes are being accomplished, even in the overthrow and the captivity of his people. God's chosen people, the Israelites, are deported to Babylon. Moreover, in the end, God will establish a kingdom that will endure forever. The destiny of the people of God is wrapped up in this eternal kingdom because God is sovereign. Character counts. God is sovereign. character counts. Daniel was a godly man sent to live in an ungodly Babylon, a time when God's blessings upon the Jewish nation appears to have been withdrawn or postponed. This means that Daniel's position could be compared to the believers of today, trying to live in a secular society. Remember this, write it down. Character counts. And the third point is conform or transform. Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Shadrach, who is Shadrach, Mishael, who is Meshach, and Azariah, who is Abednego, they were under tremendous pressure to conform. Their religion was tolerated, even respected, as long as they did not allow it to intrude or interrupt their public life, or sometimes we say rock the boat of the Empire of Babylon. On a side note, I wonder if that is our situation today. We can practice our religion so long as it's not in public schools or at work or in public places. The scholars call this season a post-Christian society. So my question is, will we be conformed to the world or will we be transformed by the fact that God is with us? So God is sovereign, character counts, conform or transform. And the next three are faithful, fearless, and fruitful. Daniel and his three friends were taken in the first deportation of the people of Judah under King Jehoiakim. All four of these young men most likely came from noble or royal descent and were young teenagers when they were taken into captivity. All four had been given Jewish names that reflect their family's faith in God. Daniel and Mishael both end in El, which is the plural of Elohim, and Daniel means God is my judge, and Mishael means who is like God. The other two names, Hananiah and Azariah, both contained a shortened form of the name Jehovah. Hananiah means Jehovah is gracious, while Azariah means Jehovah is my helper. The very names of these men were reminders of their heritage and a challenge for them to remain faithful to the Lord. But now, deported into a strange and pagan land, their names are changed. And the names they are given all contain a reference to one of the false gods of the ancient Babylonians, Marduk, Aku, and Nego. Daniel's name was renamed Belteshazzar, which means guard my life, which was a prayer to Marduk, one of the Babylonian pagan gods. It was a way of saying that these four young men who had been servants of the Jewish God were now servants and worshipers of the gods of the pagan pantheon. How would you like to be renamed after a pagan system? Here's a very important so what. The change of the names accomplished nothing. King Nebuchadnezzar changed the men's names, but he couldn't change their hearts. They remained faithful to the true God of Israel, as the story shows. Maybe a good so what question as we begin our study of Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah. Will you be faithful? Will you be faithful when life gets burning hot? Will I remain faithful? Will you remain faithful? Write that down. Remember those three little words, God with us. Let us pray. Lord God of all creation, you, Lord God, are sovereign. You give rise to kings and kingdoms, but you reign over all. All things pass through your nail-scarred hands. We come to you today and surrender our lives as we worship you and you alone, God Almighty. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your living words today. Help us to remain faithful during these difficult days. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're reading Daniel chapter 3. We're on verse 21, where the men are thrown into the blazing fire of furnace. Let's pick up on verse 22. "The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?' He replied, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, and he defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way.' Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Asia." Daniel chapter 3 verses 1 through 30. In his book, Where is God When It Hurts?, Philip Yancey tells a story about a man by the name of Brian Sternberg. Brian was a nationally acclaimed track star. He held several records in pole vault competition. In 1963, when Brian was 19 years old, Brian had unbelievable success. He made sports headlines every week. He remained undefeated in outdoor competition, and he set his first world record. Excitement and thrills embellished the spring and summer for the Sternbergs. Then 3 weeks after Brian had set his last world record, everything changed. On July 2, 1963, while working out on a trampoline in preparation for the U.S. track team's tour of Russia, Brian landed on his neck. There was a crack. then off feeling and moving in his arms and legs were gone. Brian Sternberg was a Christian, and his faith was put to the test. He faced a crisis that threatened to leave him a quadriplegic the rest of his life, confined to a wheelchair. Brian had faith that God could and would heal his paralysis. Now, years later, he was still paralyzed. Did his faith fail? Did he not have enough faith? Did God make a mistake? Did God forsake his child? When Daniel and his three friends were taken captive to a foreign land and given names, did God make a mistake? Did God forsake them? As we are all faced with a worldwide pandemic, did God not know what was happening? Has God forgotten us? Has our faith begun to fail? To set the stage for chapter 3 of Daniel, we need to reflect on chapter 2 of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interprets the dream, and he has this dream about a big statue, and the head is gold, and it represented the kingdom of Babylon. The silver was less glorious, but stronger. It was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And then there was a brass, and it was still glorious, but a little stronger kingdom was the Greeks, and the iron the strongest. The basest kingdom of all was Rome. And at the end of this history, a rock representing Christ would strike the world kingdoms, destroy them, and then grow to fill the whole earth. When Daniel interpreted the dream and told Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom was the head and gold, but another kingdom would come along, Nebuchadnezzar had a statue built 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, the king wants everyone to bow down and worship his all-gold statue. In essence, old King Nebuchadnezzar does not build the statue the way the dream was interpreted. He had it built in all gold and now commands everyone to worship him. In this story, you'll find at least three different groups of people. The conformers, those who bow down and worship the golden statue. There are the informers, those who are jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they won't bow down. And there's the last group, the reformers. The reformers are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow down. This is how it is recorded in Daniel 3:12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. The convictions and the beliefs and the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego provided their enemy and their co-workers with an opportunity to accuse the four men of sedition or disloyalty or subversion or treason. The informers go to work doing what informers do. They phrase their remarks in such a manner as to work old King Nebuchadnezzar into the greatest possible agitation. Furious with rage is what we are told. Nebuchadnezzar brought these three men before him, probed them for a confession. He says in verse 14, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and worship the image of gold I have set up?" There's no reply recorded, but there must have been one. They must have told the king that they would not serve him or serve their gods, or they might have just said that is correct. Nebuchadnezzar offered them a second chance. I believe herein lies the problem that confronts every follower of the one true God. When the requirements of serving God come in conflict with the demands of the secular world, whom do we bow down to? Are you in the story yet? Put yourself in Babylon, standing in front of the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not seek more time to get another advice. These young men did not rationalize their options. They did not try to justify their actions. They did not go and discuss their decision with others. They did not stop to consider the arguments of others. They remained faithful to their one true God. This is the king's reply. In verse 15, "But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" I think these words that were written in Daniel 3:16 through 18 are some of the most memorable verses in the Old Testament. Listen again, verse 16 and 18. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king.' But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. What in the world? Are you with me? Are you right there in the story? Are you standing before the pagan King Nebuchadnezzar with your three BFFs or your two BFFs? Here's a great idea to ponder. What gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego their own conviction and faith? Here's my prayer. I believe that they knew that the God whom they worship and served, they believe their God was sovereign. They knew their scriptures and they were not going to worship false idols. They were willing to die for their faith. These three men were faithful. I'm reminded of the great reformer Martin Luther when he stood on trial at the Diet of Worms and he was asked by his authorities to recant his convictions in the 95 questions on the door of the Wittenberg Council. And Luther replies, "Here I stand, I can do no other, may God help me." Do you realize that Martin Luther started the Reformation with five solas? Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, sola Christus, Christ alone, sola de gloria, glory to God alone. Here lies a good so what for us. What are your convictions? What is my faith based on? What are the solas that I stand on? I stand on Scripture alone. I stand on faith alone. I stand on grace alone. I stand on Christ alone. I stand on God's glory alone. When we read the rest of the story of Nebuchadnezzar, he's so furious with rage that he heats the fire up seven times hotter, and he throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace, and it's so hot that the soldiers are burned alive. Are you in the story? This is one red-hot fire. What happens next is miraculous. In the middle of the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar sees not three men, but four. He knows he just threw three men into the furnace, but now he sees four. Who's the fourth man? It is the pre-incarnate Christ with him, God with us. Nebuchadnezzar is astonished and now calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out. They come out unharmed, no smell of smoke or fire, no hair is singed. Are you with me in this story? These three men were fearless and faithful, and because they were fearless and faithful, they're fruitful. And Nebuchadnezzar says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Remember Brian Sternberg at the beginning of our message? Brian was a Christian, and his faith was put to the test. And he was asked by Look magazine to write a point of view. And he said in his magazine, "Having faith is a necessary step towards one of two things. Being healed is one of them. Peace of mind, if healing does not come, is the other. I do not know the fiery furnace that you're in. I do not know the fiery furnace that any of us will be faced in. But I do know that God will be with us. We will be tested, and will we be faithful, fearless, and fruitful. I know I just celebrated my 23rd year of ordained ministry, and I've served four churches, and during that time I faced elder boards and church kings and queens who wanted me to be softer. Would I fit in better? Here's the problem. I gave up everything to follow Jesus. Conform, inform, reform, transform. What would I choose? What will you choose? I want to be able to say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it and will rescue us from your hand, O King. But if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that has been set up. That's my prayer for each one of us. I want you to be faithful. I want you to know that no matter what the fiery furnace you face being thrown into, there's a fourth man in the fire. His name is Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's beaten the fiery furnace. He has defeated hell, death, and the grave. He rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And it is Jesus who will help you to become faithful, fearless, and fruitful. God bless. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.